You know, sometimes when someone gives a Thanksgiving, if you've never had that to happen before in your own life, you really can't appreciate the feeling of what God did. If you lived in town and never had animals that you needed to load, you won't appreciate what Robert and Julie were thanking the Lord for. A while back I can appreciate because the Lord didn't help me on mine. And Heather had a horse that I needed to take to the vet. So I had scheduled the time a Saturday morning, and I needed to have it there at 8 o'clock. So I figured my time, okay, I need 15 minutes to load the horse, and it will take me 10 minutes to be there. So I'll give myself a little more time. I'll go 30 minutes. Well, I'd never loaded this horse before. So I went out with a bucket of feed. That it will always work. So I went out there, and sure enough, the horse just followed the bucket of feed. And I mean, we're going to even make it and have time to spare. Until I stepped in the trailer and the horse stopped. And so I'm shaking the feed. I'm doing everything I can do. And that horse will not come in the trailer. And my time's ticking. Now I'm seeing I'm passing the time that I had allotted to load this horse. So I finally come to the point, I'm going to have to call the vet and tell him I'm not coming, or else I'm going to have to try another method. So I have me another method. I have one of those great big ratchet straps like you see on the semis. And I say, you know, if that'll hold something on a semi, it'll get this horse in the trailer. So I hooked one on one side and the other on the other side, and I started cranking him into the trailer. You can't make a horse go forward. It don't matter what size ratchet strap you have. When he didn't want to go, he won't go. After all that working, I called a vet and I said, the horse won't be there today. We've ratcheted him. He's got other problems besides the one I was going to. Okay. But these things, when I heard Robert and Julie saying that, pictures just start coming in your mind of, wow, the Lord sure is good. When he does these things for us, God is good. We have been talking about mental libraries. And I tell you, I think it is very important in the day and time that we live in to build ours. And before I start tonight, I'd like to share with you someone in the Bible that is building one himself. I'd like for you to go to Malachi 3 and 16 to start. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. I think about just that first part of that verse, they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. To me, that is what we heard at prayer time. I want to thank the Lord for this. I want to thank the Lord for this. God did this for me. Down to the song that was sung this morning was a help. They that feared the Lord spake often one to another. When we come together at prayer meeting time, speaking often one to another, I want to tell you this week a scripture that the Lord brought to my mind. Somebody else, I had a problem and the Lord worked it out. They spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and he heard it. You know, sometimes we don't ever even think about this step. We just think about us all being together, trying to encourage each other, telling what the Lord has done for us. But the Lord hearkened, and he heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. I'd like for us to remember this verse. Sometimes as we're working on our mental library, I want to have things that quickly help me to think about him. Let's remember that when we get together and we're sharing what the Lord has done for us, it's causing him to write some things in his book of remembrance of them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. He has a mental library. He is remembering the times that the small items that we would say, you know, that really wouldn't make any difference. I don't think I'll thank the Lord for that. I want to tell you, turn it around. If the next time Robert and Julie need to load an animal and the Lord say, okay, they thought they could handle it, they did well, that time I'll show them something different. You know, with each one of us, the Lord could just pull back a little bit, and we're in desperate need. It doesn't matter the smallest items that we think we can handle. We could be quickly in need of the Lord greatly. So I want us to remember this. The Lord hearkened, heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and thought on his name. So tonight I would like for us to look a little more. You know, last week we talked about action verses. We talked about running and fighting, things that involve movement. It involves me doing something and something happening from it. It involves me going somewhere, getting something done. But you know, there's others, and we just started in them at the closing time. And I think it's important for us to take some time with them tonight. There are others that we will probably spend more time with than we do in the fighting category, the walking category, the running category. And those were standing, yes, waiting, and quiet. Those are the ones that we will have some of the hardest times with. And I was thinking of the serenity prayer, to be able to know the difference. It says, God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. You know, there's some things in life that it doesn't matter how much effort I put into, I can't make the change come about. God grant me the serenity to be able to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to be able to know the difference. The courage that on the things that God says, you can take care of that one, that I'd be able to have the courage to go do it. And really, that I'd be able to have the wisdom to know one from the other. Because if I don't have the wisdom for that, I'm going to run into trouble along life's way. I would like for us to go to a verse, because this verse kind of brings some fear to me about using it. Psalms 119 and 126. It says, 119 and 126, it is time for thee, Lord, to work. Yes. Have you ever felt that before?
Yes.
Lord, okay, I've been in this, I've been waiting, I've been standing, I've been quiet. Yes. Now, Lord, it's time for you to do something. Well, you know, right along with this verse, I want us to look at some others. You remember Job felt that way. Job had a lot of chapters. I would be interested in knowing how long his affliction lasted. I've looked before. I know it lasted 38 chapters worth. So some time passed by. It wasn't just, you know, we hear that his friends came and they sat without talking for 7 days. Some time passed by for Job. Enough time that he started having some questions. You know what? If I could talk to the Lord, I'd have some things to tell him. I would have some things to talk to him about. And do you remember if we would go to Job 38th chapter? Because here are some places for us to remember. It'd be real easy for me to say, okay, Lord, I've got it figured out. It's time for you to work. And I feel like Job probably was saying that. Let's look at Job 38 and starting in the first verse. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind, because Job has been telling before this some things about he wished he'd be able to talk to the Lord. The Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind, and he said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, and I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? And he went on for a couple chapters reminding Job, Job, remember who you are and who I am. Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? I want to think about this as I come to the Lord desiring him to do something for me. I don't want to come in a way that, Lord, I've got it figured out, and it's time for you to do something. I need to realize, like the Lord came to him, Dan, remember, where were you when I created the earth? Before you ever came along, I had this taken care of. And who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? And there's another one that I want us to remember in Romans 9 and 20. In Romans 9th chapter and the 20th verse. This is another one for us to remember. It says, nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? That verse saying, O man of God, O man who repliest against God, shall the thing formed say to him that formed it? May I always remember that I'm the thing that's formed. He's the one that made it. And I want to be able to always remember that. So this afternoon for a little bit, I'd like for us to look at some verses about standing still. Do you have any that come to your mind? We started on this the other day. Because I can look at some of these scriptures, and it seems like it's removed from where I am today. It seems like it would hardly fit for me today, but it really does fit. Let's go to one in Exodus in the 14th chapter. If we were up against what the children of Israel were up against, what would it be like then to be told to stand still? Exodus 14 and 13. Now this, he's telling them here, Moses said to them, fear ye not, stand still. Now what's the whole problem anyhow? You remember with this chapter? The children of Israel have left out, God delivered them when all the oldest of the Egyptians, the children, died, and they said, okay, you can go now. They left out of there, and things were really looking good. But then Pharaoh hardened his heart, and he came with his chariots, with his soldiers after them. And now we got the Red Sea in front of them. We've got the army behind them. And we've got Moses telling them, fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. The Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. So I thought about this dilemma for the children of Israel. And the command that comes to them is, just stand still. Yes. It's one of the hardest things to do. There's a song that maybe Robert and Julie have sung it before. It says, stand still and see God move. Yes. Standing still is hard to do. Yes. It says, when you feel you've reached the end, he'll make a way for you. Stand still and see God move. It's a time for us because from the time we graduated, and at the graduation speeches they tell us you can be what you want to be, you can do what you want to do. The sky is the limit for you. So we should be able to solve our problems. But some of them, spiritually, the Lord says, stand still. Just be still in the middle of all this trouble. So, do you have one that you'd like to give? Standing still. Do you remember any stories to where trouble is on? I'd like to look at one in 2 Chronicles 20. We're faced with a dilemma. We need the Lord to help us out. In the 20th chapter, Here's one where they're in need of help. 20th chapter of 2 Chronicles. Came to pass after this that the children of Moab, the children of Ammon, and with them others besides the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. There came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And Jehoshaphat did the very thing that we would do. He feared. But he set himself to seek the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast throughout Judah. He was fearful just like we would be fearful when something big comes our way. But what he did was he realized his solution, his help, was with God. He feared, he set himself to seek the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast. And then he starts on down in the 6th verse. O Lord of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not over all the kingdoms of heaven? Of the heathen, and in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Starts out by saying how great God is. And then it goes on down in the 12th verse. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. That's a story from way back there in the Old Testament. But it would be very good for me to be able to put it in my mental library. That some battles will be solved by me standing still and letting the Lord work it out. And it says, all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Everything they have is standing there waiting for the Lord. What will you do for us? Will you deliver us or will you not? And then it comes on down, an answer from the Lord in the 15th verse. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid or dismayed by reason of this great multitude. And this is something we need to keep in mind. The battle is not yours. Yes. It's God's. And it goes on down in the 17th verse. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Now that'd be a consolation right there, to be able to believe God has said you won't have to fight this battle. So when they went out, look at what they did in the 21st verse. When he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. For me to be able in the middle of the battle, coming up against the enemy, and to be able to praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. It says, when they began to sing and to praise, that's the only thing they had to do to win this battle. When they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. And here's how they did it. When the Lord does something, he can do it so much better than I could ever even think of. It says, for the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants. So three groups have come together to fight the Israelites. So now two of them, Ammon and Moab, stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. They were all together just a little while ago. But you know, God that created man can change the thoughts that a man is thinking. A few minutes ago, he was thinking they were all together. We're going to go slay the Israelites. Now something changes in their minds, and two of them slay the one other. It says, when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. So the battle, without the children of Israel having to do anything, God won the battle for them. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Does anyone have another verse that gives us instruction on being still?
Yeah, 1 Samuel 9:27.
1 Samuel 9:27.
And as they were going down to the end of the city, Samuel said to Saul, bid the servant pass on before us. And he passed on. But stand thou still a while, that I may show thee the words of God.
Okay. Samuel given instruction to Saul before he was ever even king. All Saul is doing right there is trying to find his father's animals. And he's telling him, you stay still. You know, real easily he could have said, I tell you what, I'll try to come back later, but I've got to get back home right now. But instead, Samuel is telling him, stay right here, be still for a while. With that, I'd like to look at another verse in Psalms 4:4. If someone gets it, read Psalms 4:4. Commune with your heart upon your bed and be still. You know, we can have a lot of things crossing our mind when we wake up in the middle of the night. Commune with your own heart and be still. Sometimes I think more than just, okay, lay still. It's let your mind settle down. Be still. With that, If someone will get Psalms 46 and 10. Be still. You know, in the time we're living in where everything is a rush, there's still a call for us. Stop sometime. Be still and know that I am God. There's another story, because I think along with the scriptures giving us instruction, we need to see what the Lord was able to do. 2 Kings in the 19th chapter is a story of the king of Assyria coming against the children of Israel again, Hezekiah. And they have already gone through the country, and nobody has been able to stand before the Assyrians. And now they're coming up to the children of Israel, and they've got some words for them. Look at the 10th verse. Thus shall ye speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, let not thy God, in whom thou trustest, deceive thee, saying, Jerusalem shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. Behold, thou hast heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all lands by destroying them utterly. And shalt thou be delivered? Have the gods of the nations delivered them which my fathers have destroyed? And it says, where is the king of Hamath? All those that they destroyed. Look in the 14th verse. Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers. He read it. Now, here's where we have to make a decision from it when trouble comes our way. Am I taking this as I've got to handle it, or do what Hezekiah did? Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord, and he spread it before the Lord. This is the 14th verse. And again, see how his prayer starts out. Hezekiah prayed, 15th verse, before the Lord, and he said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. In the Lord's Prayer, how does it start? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Yes. Starts out kind of like this one does. Lord, you're great. So then he comes on down, and Hezekiah is agreeing with what the king has said. 17th verse, he says, of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands. They have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods. They were the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore have they destroyed them. So what he's telling the Lord is, there's no comparison between the gods that they had and the God that I serve. And he says, now therefore, O Lord, our God, I beseech you, save us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. And it goes on down where the Lord gave an answer to it. He says in the 32nd verse, but they're still, okay, 28th verse. This is God himself saying, 27th verse, I know thy abode, thy going out and thy coming in. I know thy rage against me. This is the God of heaven speaking to us, the king of Assyria. Because thy rage against me and thy tumult is come up into mine ears, therefore I will put my hook in thy nose and my bridle in thy lips, and I will turn thee back by the way which thou camest. Remember just a little bit ago, the king of Assyria is telling Hezekiah, I want you to look back at the nations that we have already whipped. None of them were able to stand, nor will you be able to stand. And now God is saying, I heard that. And now, because you have this feeling toward the God of heaven, I'm going to put my hook in your nose. Yes. You know what? You can lead somebody all the place, everywhere you want to go, by the end of their nose, hooked onto it, they'll follow you wherever you want to go. I'm going to do this. And it goes on down in the 32nd verse. He shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shield, nor cast a bank against it. By the way that he came, by the same shall he return. He shall not come into this city, saith the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it, for mine own sake and for my servant David's. So how could this be accomplished? The God of heaven doesn't need a man to be able to do it. Look at that verse in the 35th. I can't hardly imagine this size of an army that had come against us. It came to pass that night, the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. 185,000 people died that night. When they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. Children of Israel yesterday had a big problem on their hands. Today, it's no problem at all. But Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, he still lives to go back to his home country. And it says, and it came to pass, look in the 37th verse, as he was worshiping in the house of his God, that his two sons slew him. Here he had just a little bit ago been coming against the children of Israel and saying what he was going to do. And God says, just be still. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to figure. You remember another story was Gideon, where the Lord told Gideon, you've got way too many people. They have got five times as many as you did on your best day. When you had the 32,000 or whatever it was, they had like 150,000. There was already way too many. But you remember what the Lord told Gideon? There's a reason I'm going to cut your number. Because if you go out with 20% of what he has and you win the battle, you're going to go home saying, boy, we planned a strategy. We really took care of them. So I'm going to bring it down to where you realize there's not a thing I could do. And you know what I think in this day and time, the Lord wants to do the same with us sometimes, is to bring us to the place where I really don't have an ability to start with, but I really need to be able to recognize it, that Lord, you're the one that can help deliver me from this. And you remember with Gideon, very first thing was, I tell you what, you just tell your people, are you scared? Are you scared because looking over on the other side, they got five times as many as us? Okay, you want to go home? Go. And they took out. A pile of them took out. And then you remember he said, okay, there's another way we're going to weed them. If I were wanting just a few people left in my army, I'd want somebody that could shoot an arrow, or we're going to go out here and do some target practice. Yeah. How did God say we're going to weed them on down? Take them down to the brook. And you watch how they drink water out of the brook. If they do it this way, see God, sometimes we will look at, okay, if I were going to do it, I'd do it this way. We'll start learning something about God as we're building this mental library. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are his ways than our ways, his thoughts than our thoughts. So he says, okay, have them drink water. Now separate them. I believe they had 10,000, and now they have 300 because 9,700 of them drank water the wrong way. And now he says, you've got the right amount. So for us today, when the Lord says, okay, this battle now, I want you to just stand still. Yes. If we can realize, you know what? Sometimes we can feel so outnumbered with the enemy that's coming up against us. But if we could realize all it takes is God stepping into the situation and everything can be cleared up. So I am thankful for that. Does anyone have another verse?
Job 37:14.
Okay, Job 37:14.
Okay. Hearken unto this, O Job. Stand still and consider the wondrous works of God.
Telling Job, stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. There is a song that I've heard it called several times recently. It's number 144. It says, O be still, thou soul of mine. Thou art not forsaken. Though the powers of sin may rage, thou shalt be unshaken. He who gave his life for thee thus permits that thou shouldst be. For thy good, as thou shalt see, tempted for a season. Why shouldst thou so fearful be at the tempter's roaring? Simply trust in God alone, Satan's wrath, ignoring. See God's tenderness and prove with the sainted host above his unfailing, wondrous love, ever for thee caring. And then it ends with the last verse, because I have a choice whether I'm willing to be still or not. Yes, dear Lord, I will be still. I will trust thee ever. I'll submit to all thy will, cling to thee forever. Lord, thou knowest what is best. Confident in this I'll rest, till I dwell with all the blessed and with thee in heaven. Now there's another word that goes along with being still, and that's waiting. Yes. They're just almost side by side, but there's some verses that go along with the one on waiting that I'd like to look at for just a few minutes. There's a song that we sing sometimes. Maybe we'll sing a verse of it. Because waiting sometimes is the hardest thing to do. This song says, teach me, Lord, to wait down on my knees till in your own good time you answer my pleas. Teach me not to rely on what others do, but to wait in prayer for an answer from you. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, to wait. Teach me, Lord, to wait. While hearts are aflame, let me humble my pride and call on your name. Keep my faith renewed, my eyes on thee. Let me be on this earth what you want me to be. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, to wait. At a time when I'm willing to run, I'm willing to fight, those are things I'm making some progress. Sometimes the waiting is the hard thing to do. Do you have a verse that gives us instruction on waiting?
Strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord.
Okay. Psalms 27 and 14. Okay, let's do Psalms 27 and 13 and 14. Because we need some verses to be able to put in the book to where when I come to a place where waiting is all that's going to help me. Does someone have Psalms 27 and 14? Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Okay, does someone have another one? Okay, Sister Myra has one.
Psalms 1 and 1 and 2. Okay. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night.
Blessed is the man. There's some things that he stops doing, walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And it continues on from that. There's some rewards that come from that man. He should be like a tree planted by a river of water. Won't be seeing when drought comes. Okay? Someone have another one. Psalms 40 and 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, and he established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord. And where did that begin with? I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Do you have an example of someone that had a hard time waiting? Can you think of one? Saul. It was the beginning of Saul's downfall. Because you remember when he was anointed to be king? You remember what came to him later? When you were little in your own eyes, the Lord made you king. And you remember his first battle? That was amazing how the Lord worked in his first battle that he came to. There was a group of people that were surrounded by the enemy, and the enemy intended to just humiliate them. They said, what we want you to do, we're not going to kill you, but what you want, we want you to do is you line up and come out. And as you come out, we will poke out one eye of every person. Well, the ones inside the city said, would you give us 7 days? Would you give us a few days? If no one will come help us, we'll come out. And the word went to Saul. Saul has just been, he hasn't been king hardly any time. And it says the Spirit of the Lord came upon Saul. And Saul came and delivered those people. A wonderful victory that it looks like Saul would remember for a long time. You know, we were talking a while ago about the children of Israel. With the enemy behind them and the Red Sea in front of them, it looks like they would never forget it. Did they ever have trouble waiting again after that? When Moses was called to go up and get the Ten Commandments from God, gone for 40 days, and they said, we don't know what happened to this Moses, so make us a God that'll take us on. We've got to be willing to wait on the Lord. Saul, do we have that verse? 1 Samuel 13. Because when I look at that, in the human I can see the stress that Saul was under. 1 Samuel 13 and the 5th verse tells us the people that were up against him. 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen, and people as the sand which is on the seashore in multitude. And they came and pitched, ready for the battle. When the men of Israel, 6th verse, saw that they were in a strait, for the people were distressed, then the people did hide themselves in caves and thickets and rocks and high places and in pits. Seeing this, and kind of like what happened with Gideon, we want out of here. This battle is going to be rough for us. And so they're starting to run. Some of the Hebrews went over Jordan, 7th verse, to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was yet in Gilgal, and all the people followed him trembling. And he tarried 7 days, that's waiting, according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. So Samuel said, wait 7 days, and I'll be coming. You know, it's pretty tough to see the army building greater and greater. Looks like this battle is going to start at any time. But the word that has come to me is wait 7 days. The seventh day is on me now, and he hasn't come yet. So he says, Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offerings, something that was never in his place as king to be able to do. Someone else was to do that. Bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offerings, and he offered the burnt offering. Came to pass that as soon as he made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him that he might salute him. And Samuel said, what hast thou done? And Saul, there's another thing that we'll find about Saul. He always had an answer to justify what he had done. And a lot of times, this one, as well as when he sent him to destroy the Amalekites, Saul said, it was the people that caused me to do this. Because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and therefore I have not made supplication to the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and I offered a burnt offering. Something that Samuel says, your kingdom will not continue. There was a time when Saul was little in his own eyes, and the Lord made him king. But you know what? The Lord's not, because he did it, he's not, okay, it'll last forever. It's while we're obedient to him. We see that with Saul. This was a time for him to realize, you know what? I just continue to wait. This is the Lord's battle anyhow. So does anyone have another?
I've got one.
Okay, go ahead.
Exactly an example. It's more of the waiting.
Okay.
Psalm 69. There's
verses 1. Save me, O God, for the waters are coming to my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come unto deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. Mine eyes fell while I wait for my God. They that hate me without cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restore that which I took not away. O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee. Let them not that wait on thee, O Lord, of God of hosts, be ashamed for my sake. Let not those that seek thee be confounded for my sake. And it goes on, he's lamenting all this stuff while he's waiting on the Lord. And then in verse 30, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bullock that hath horns and hooves. The humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God. For the Lord heareth the poor and despiseth not his prisoners. Let the heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moveth therein. For God will save Zion and will build the cities of Judah, that they may dwell there and have it in possession. And also his servants shall inherit it, and they that love his name shall dwell therein.
Okay, so as we look at that chapter, he's saying, Lord, I don't want those that wait on you to be ashamed for my sake. The things that are happening in my life, I don't want it to cause others that are waiting on you to be ashamed for my sake. And then the Lord brings deliverance to him. I'll praise the name of God with a song. I'll magnify him with thanksgiving. Okay? And you know, we need to be able to have that. Lord, I don't want others that are desiring to live for you, others that are willing to wait for you. I don't want my example to be a hindrance to them. Okay, does anybody have another? Okay, Hosea 12 and 6.
Turn thee to thy God, keep mercy and judgment, and wait on thy God continually.
And wait on thy God continually. Okay, here's a verse that's a little hard to find in the Bible. Lamentations. Ezekiel, then Lamentations. There's a verse in there that will be good. Whoops. Lamentations is not right after Ezekiel. Jeremiah, Lamentations. Okay, Lamentations. It's in the third chapter. and the 25th verse. Okay, if someone has it, Lamentations 3 and 25. Okay, and then go on down to the next verse.
It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord.
Okay, 25th verse, the Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. So with these, there will come a time when we will, you know, the verse tells us, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. There are some other times where we get instruction, wait on the Lord. Does anybody have another verse before we close?
Isaiah 64:4.
For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him.
What he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him.
Psalm 62:1.
Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation.
My soul waiteth on God. Remember the verse that says, a day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day.
Yes.
He doesn't mark time like I mark time. I feel like this thing has gone on about long enough. And the Lord lives in eternity. He doesn't see the beginning and the end as being affected by time. What he sees is the thing that I'm bringing to them, I have a desired end for it. I want it to be able to accomplish something in their life. And with Job, I look at with Joseph, he just had a dream. He didn't say this dream came from God. His was just like a boy having a dream. And I told it. But you know what? He went through his life just allowing God to work in his life however he wanted to. He didn't ever say, now, Lord, this is going against what the dream has said. And I feel like that dream came from you. And I feel like it's good for us sometimes to be able to, as we go through life, if it seems like it's going in the opposite direction of what we would feel like it should be going, to realize God's got a plan. He doesn't mark time. He's not affected by time like we are. To me, it would have been good if he would have told Job. You know, Job didn't have a clue what was going on in his life, except that trouble was happening to him. If God could have just come to him on the side and say, look here, Job, this is what's fitting to happen. I want you to hang on because I need to be able to write this in the Bible and I want it to look good. He didn't know it. What he knew was he lost all of his possessions. What he knew was then alone comes his health being gone. And however long that lasted, and I wish somebody could find, I don't know that it's available. How long did that last? But what it was just continually, for however long it takes to do 38 chapters it lasted, we know. But his trouble just continued, and he only saw it as trouble. Sometimes we will see, is it possible that ever happens again? Is it possible? You know, we talk about him saying, have you considered my servant Job? The devil didn't say, I've never heard of Job. Where does he live? You know, he had already seen Job. He had already seen his desire to live for God. He had seen him when he was doing his sacrifices. And he had seen that God had blessed him. I believe the same thing can happen to us today. And sometimes, if we could just realize, you know what? Is this a time where God is counting on me to go through this in the right way? for me to be able to say, Lord, I'd like for it to be ending today. But should it not? Joseph, it took 13 years of his life to go from this point to this point. And I see that each thing that happened to him when he was put in prison, you know what? He could have hit a state of depression to where he was good to nobody. He could have just, everybody that came to visit him, he only had one thing to say. When I get out of here, she's going to pay for that. Instead, he moved on with life. Yes. May we each one, as we wait on the Lord, that we'll be able to be of good courage, wait, I say, on the Lord. Yes.